Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
It's time for another great look into football history with a mystery reveal story of a gridiron great. This one may be one of the best rushers in pro football history that you may have never heard of. We have his story coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pig Pen, your portal to positive football history. And before we get going today on our mystery reveal player of the day, I want to make sure you're aware of our daily newsletter. Now, to subscribe to our daily newsletter, well, there's a place in the show notes of this podcast episode on your favorite podcast player provider that you can click and join up to our daily email. And you can also go on to PigskinDispatch.com or SportsJerseyDispatch.com and click on the email subscriber button there. It'll take you some links there. And you can unsubscribe at any time you'd like. But what you get each and every day is all the newest and greatest podcasts and blog posts that we're putting on all of our websites in the Pigpen Sports realm, as well as anything new that's happening on the Sports History Network. So you've got quite a different array of things in sports history that are popping up on there. Usually there's between 5 and 10 new items each and every day. You get it about 6:30 a.m. in your email inbox that's Eastern time every day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year to stay up to date on what's happening in sports history and new articles and podcasts there. So make sure you join that in those ways that I suggested. Now let's get to our subject. We're going to talk about this in a little bit of a mysterious fashion because it's a great way to tell a story. And the fella, this is the subject of our discussion in this episode, who we're going to refer to at least at first as Mr. X until our big reveal, is one of the players whose story has him starting off working for a dime and 3 pennies an hour, 13 cents, as he sorts through mined coal that came topside from the depths below. Mr. X's childhood job was to pick through the rubble and extract slate and other non-coal items for the valuable black chunks of coal. Now, the job was dangerous, as many of the items had sharp edges, razor sharp, that sliced right through the skin, right into the kids' bones of their hands. And also, they had to deal with dangerous toxic fumes and the dust of the black carbon. Our mystery person and the other boys, they got a little bit older and stronger. They worked near the mine's mouth, lifting and carrying and pushing carts full of rubble as the miners down below sent topside. And such was the life pattern of Mr. X. That is, until he joined the Navy in 1915 and fought in World War I for his country. After 18 months of rigorous training and service on a battleship, Mr. X returned home and helped care for his mother and siblings by going underground as a full-fledged miner. You see, he basically replaced his father, who was a heavy drinker at the time, and we believe he passed away due to this heavy drinking and the complications that happened from that disease of alcoholism. Mr. X and the other miners would then blow off a bit of steam during breaks and off shift hours by getting together and playing some football in whatever empty spaces they could find around the mining camp. You see, the guys from all the physical labor were strong and lean from the heavy lifting and the swinging of picks and sledgehammers, and had muscular lower bodies from pushing 2-ton carts on dirty tracks just full of rubble from the ground underneath. And it was in some ways It was the perfect football gym workout of that era. Now, soon these guys started to get a little bit more competitive. One shift would challenge another to a game, and then money would be wagered. And soon it spread to the other mines as the competitive nature of the gridiron with mining athletes had begun. Mr. X was a very sought after player by many because he had the natural gifts of youth and athleticism along with the muscles of a man that hit the blocking sleds every day. Yeah, those 4,000 pound carts of coal. Because in essence, what he did is he just pushed those carts with all of his lower body strength. And Mr. X was different than any other back would be to carry a football. Besides running with reckless abandon and taking on the hits of would-be tacklers straight on, without fear, he also had a peculiar way of carrying the ball. Author David Fleming describes his ball handling style as one hand cupped above and below the ball, and while carrying the pigskin gently as one would carry a baby chick, he also had graceful moves, quickness, and great balance, and he was a darn near perfect rusher for the game of football in any era. Mr. X's football prowess was noticed by others too. Many clamored to get him to return to school and to play college ball because certainly he would instantly make any team that much better. But there's a couple reasons he couldn't. Well, you know, he was a good decade older than the others that were in school, and not having a strong suit in academia, you know, he basically had a fifth grade education, and Mr. X stayed in the coal mining leagues for a bit longer. Well, X got to make a little bit of money when he stepped out on a field for a semi-pro football squad named the Lithuanian Knights. In one game with the Knights, he shattered all normalcy for the average game at that time when he rushed for an unheard of, at the time, 100 plus yards and led the Lithuanian club to a 68-0 blowout of a local opponent. This team strategy, later described by fellow Knights years later, said that they never punted, but rather handed off the ball to Mr. X on fourth down, and he generally reached the line to gain or scored on the play. Opponents would start to get wise to the Knights' running of Mr. X up the gut, as they would stack the middle, and the Lithuanian offense would respond by letting Mr. X find the corner and use his quick wheels and power run to what in essence would be a jet sweep called today to counter this defensive strategy of loading up the box. Well, people were really starting to notice, and word got around about Mr. X and his amazing runs, and a nearby team in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, called the Panthers, hired X to play ball with the contracted compensation of a lucrative $75 per game. Outstanding income for that time, and more than a month's pay of working in the coal mines. The Wilkes-Barre Panthers played in the Anthracite League against other coal mining towns like Scranton, Pottsville, and Coaldale. It was a rough and tumble conference of teams that played fiercely, with many players looking to hurt their opponents physically to gain advantages on the field. And it was put a head on a swivel in that era of football, for sure. In 1925, this standout player finally got a chance to play in the NFL. As our Mr. X is revealed, Tony Latone made his professional debut with the Pottsville Maroons football franchise. Yeah, years later, George Halas, the great founder of the Chicago Bears, Chicago Staleys, the Cater Staleys, claimed something to the effect that if Tony Latone would have played college ball, he may have very well been one of the best pro players ever. Well, I can add to that, maybe consider one of the best pro players ever, because I think that Tony Latone is one of the greatest pro football players ever. And we're going to tell you about that in a second. In fact, there are many that say Tony maybe is the unofficial leading rusher in pro football history for the 1920s era. Yes, the same time frame that greats like Jim Thorpe, Ernie Nevers, and Red Grange played in. There are many comparisons to the Wheaton Iceman, and the stats of both Grange and Latone in six seasons of 1925 through 1930 are very comparable. Latone would officially rush for 2,648 yards and punch the ball over the goal line 26 times. Red Grange, in comparison, rushed for 2,616 yards and scored 29 times, showing that the stats of the Maroon of Pottsville legend topped the Galloping Ghost in both categories, and Tony Latone played 30 games less than Grange did in that same six-year time period. Amazing stats. One big question that's arisen about Tony Latone is, why is this man not in the Pro Football Hall of Fame? And this has been a point of discussion in many circles, including the Pro Football Research Association, as well as many other outlets. And possible reasons could be the short career of Letone, who spent many of his prime years working in the coal mines and playing semi-pro ball, never attending college because it was said that he only had a fifth grade education level. And yet others claim it's because he is somewhat tainted as being the star and the face of the franchise, so to speak, of the 1925 Pottsville Maroons team that was stripped of the NFL title for disregarding the directive of NFL Commissioner Joe Carr at the time, as not to play a game against the Notre Dame All-Stars on the turf of their rival, Frankfurt Yellow Jackets, in the city of Philadelphia. Or was it just that his name has been lost in a shuffle, as future heirs of pro players would have better stats than Tony Letone due to rules revisions, schematics, and even strategy evolution? For whatever reason, the memory of Letone's football legacy should be remembered as one of the true greats of running the football, according to the reports of his peers and the stats that he left behind. Now, we'd love to bring you this great football history, including the story of Tony Letone of the Pottsville Maroons and Lithuanian Knights and some of the other teams that he played for in that Anthracite League and before he joined the NFL. But just a true great American story of, you know, hard work and labor and little football upbringing, but just great physical gifts, and the gifts from that hard labor working in the coal mines just turned him into a great athletic specimen. And Tony Letone should always be remembered. And, you know, we thank the great book of David Fleming, the Breaker Boys. Also reading some of the great work of Joe Zagorski, who in 1987 wrote a great piece in the Professional Football Research Association, Coffin's Corner, on Tony Letone. Got some great information from there. And we always thank our musicians who provide the great music, Mike and Gene Monroe, with their contributions, as well as Jason Neff, and some great things to look at there. So we thank all of you very much for listening once again. We hope you'll join us each and every day for more great football history, and hope that you like this format in the mystery reveal format. And we'd love to hear your feedback. PigskinDispatch@gmail.com. You can send it to us, or you can find us on social media at Pigskin Dispatch on Twitter and the Pigskin Dispatch Football Facebook pages. So till tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, is found right here on the Sports History Network.